Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another hope made of
another show. Well, here we go again. As I've done for some 15 life-changing weeks, I'll start with some actual news in the theater world, then review what I watched last week, and that is still available, I hope. And finally, look ahead at this upcoming week. Broadway shows, of course, are totally in limbo. We haven't had any recent announcements of those that will or won't return. But this week, arguably the most anticipated one, the revival of The Music Man, did answer that burning question. It will return, if there's no more trouble, with the capital T, next spring. This version, as you know, stars Hugh Jackman, Sutton Foster, and tickets were selling big time as soon as it was announced, and that was months prior to its scheduled September 2020 opening. So now Harold Hill and Marion the Librarian hoping to be adorning our stages in 2021. And that's hope with a capital H. So what did I enjoy this past week? Well, it turns out there is something called Broadway Black, and it gives out something called Antonio Awards. This is not new, apparently, but obviously has added urgency and emotion this time. You can rewatch that ceremony, which was streamed live on Juneteenth, and hear lovely thank you speeches from the likes of Adrienne Warren, who won for playing Tina Turner, and Michael Benjamin Washington, who won for portraying everyone in Anna Deavere Smith's Fires in the Mirror. Audra McDonald gives out the final award. This can be found on YouTube. Is it a must-see? Well, probably not, but yet another reminder of the enormous talent that doesn't get showcased enough. I also streamed the Red Bull Company's Podversation of the Week, this one with actress Kate Burton. And these have been more than your usual, so who was your favorite co-star chats? They tend to focus on a particular performance, often a Shakespearean one. Burton, who is much more than just Richard's daughter, has had a stellar and serious stage career. And here she talks about portraying the lead in a version of The Tempest a few years back. Now, this is usually a male role, Prospero, but these last few years, many parts have been played by opposite genders. Hey, Shakespeare did it. Hence, Ms. Burton portrayed Prospera. I played her as a mother, which I am, said the actress, which I think works almost better for the play. She's sad and anxious as a single parent with three kids. That felt very contemporary to me, end quote. Feeling sad and anxious as a parent? Well, who can relate to that about now? Huh. I learned a lot here, by the way, about The Tempest. I'm not sure I even knew it was the Bard's last solo effort. Kate Burton also teaches Shakespeare at USC in Los Angeles. And I might add that the most memorable Hamlet production I ever saw was with her dad in plain clothes, pared down on Broadway. I was a mere child, and it was my first trip to New York, which I am sure had something to do with the wonderful memory. The next Red Bull Talk is tonight, Monday, with Shakespearean Obie-winning actor Chuck Woody Iwuji. I hope I pronounced that right. Though these will be available for streaming via Red Bull as we move on. The other conversation I enjoyed last week was with actor Joe Morton and writer Cornelius Ely discussing a play they did together at the Vineyard in 2002 called Brutal Imagination. That one was about a white woman accusing a black man of kidnapping her children. It was based on a true story, and the play was written almost as a poem cycle. It struck home as soon as I read it, says Joe Morton. The great actor speaks of how many times he has seen white people hold their children and cross the street when they see people like him. It's a moving conversation that can be found via The Vineyard. Saturday, however, was the highlight of my streaming week, watching a live reading of Tartuffe. It's part of the Molière in the Park series. There I was in my living room in front of my laptop and laughing continuously. The 10 actors, a highly diverse cast, are sublime. The big name is Raul Esparza as the title character. He enters about 45 minutes in and does not disappoint. Molière's rhymes are priceless. Babylon and Babylon shocks me in orthodoxy. Have you lost your common sense or is this at my expense? There's truly no way of watching this one without thinking of our present-day leadership or lack thereof. with lines like, "It's all a hoax. Speak of his character and not his rank. Don't make a show of piety." Anyway, you can find this on YouTube as soon as possible. Molière in the Park. Okay, what's to watch this week? Well, Thursday at 2 and 6, the Classic Stage Company also continues its conversations. This one with the delightful Judy Kuhn, who, well, sort of like Kate Burton with the element of music added, is a woman who sort of embodies the true stage career. Fun Home, Fiddler on the Roof, so many other roles. Kuhn has done it all, and I look forward to hearing her talk and maybe even sing a little in the CSC chat. The company's had excellent ones, which can still be found on its site. On Wednesday from 4 to 6, I have a ticket, free, and so can you, for the Book of Job project, starring Jeffrey Wright, one of my faves, and David Strathairn. This is another Theater of War project. They've been first rate. And check out the Atlantic Theater Company's list of folks who will be discussing their work, mostly on Fridays. These artists cover most of the branches of the theater community, actors, directors, composers. And in the end, you may have a clearer idea of how a play actually ends up on a stage. And while we are doing our collective soul searching, it's always interesting to hear what new and younger voices are saying and thinking. Therefore, you might check out the Launchpad series of short ones called Alone Together that comes out of the Theater Arts School at UCSB. You can lie back and watch a series of the projects that the students there wrote from their hearts and minds, but only through July 4th, so there's your deadline on that one. Incidentally, today is apparently Black Women in Theater Appreciation Day, which can be Zoomed or found on YouTube. This will be like attending a conference of sorts, hearing panels and some entertainment from all angles. The event is being hosted by Danielle Brooks and should be worth tuning in when time allows. I assume that'll stay up as well. And finally, Friday is the day. What day? Well, the day everyone gets the chance to watch Hamilton, if you were there when the original cast performed it on Broadway. No, as if you were on there when the original cast performed it on Broadway. Now, this is not a movie version or a documentary, but what is being called a live capture. It's a lovely gift Lin-Manuel Miranda offers at this time. Well, Disney Plus paid him $75 million for it, so, well, he didn't exactly give it away. Still, there are many, many theatergoers or non-theatergoers who have never seen Hamilton on stage and likely would never be able to. And the timing is pretty right for so many reasons, including seeing founding fathers who look very different than they do in our textbooks. So my last question, has anyone mentioned changing Broadway's other name, the one, Jill, about the Great White Way?
Have they renamed the Great White Hope yet?
Or the Great Black, and the Great, I mean, really, have you heard anybody mention that?
I am going to respond by asking about the play, The Great White Hope. Are they renaming that?
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's why I said it like that. You know, there's...
That's interesting, which was about a black fighter, of course.
We need to, let things of... I'm going to quote one of my Daily Planets. Let things evolve rather than... we need to let things evolve just to see, because whenever you have great change, you know, in a great move in one direction, you have to wait until it balances out a little bit. And then we can talk about whether or not you're going to drop the Great White Way and rename the Great White Hope.
Really. I don't know why I actually thought of that this morning. I thought, wait a minute. Why, you know... No, I just haven't read anybody saying.
Probably because they understand it's because of lights.
Yeah. How did it come about? How was it named the Great White Way originally? Was it the lights on Broadway? I don't know.
I have absolutely no idea, but that's what I always... I have to say, and maybe this is because I am either old or dense, but it never occurred to me that this was a racial problem. Now, it just never occurred to me, and I don't know whether that's, as I said, I don't know whether it's because I'm so woefully out of touch or just because.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be called the Great Right Way, R-I-G-H-T, or W-R-I-T, I don't know. I'm not suggesting anything. It just dawned on me that that's one thing I haven't read. Well, so many other things are being altered, you know, many for the right reason. And I am going to explore why that was originally called that, you know. Anyway, it's an interesting time. I am going to be out in California next week.
Inspired by all the electric white lights on the theater marquees and billboard signs that illuminated the area. By the 1920s, the spectacle that was Times Square had become famous, and the Great White Way nickname became known worldwide.
Interesting.
So that means that historically, just I'd like to go on record as saying, I was right.
Yeah, yes, you were. I mean, does that qualify as a monument? A change of that name, would that be like tearing down an old, you know, now that we're at that point, it'll be very interesting to see if that comes up.
Well, as someone who really, really, whenever I'd come back to New York in my youth, just the first thing I did, and this was when it was dodgy and horrible and scary and grotty and everything.
Yes.
Driving around and seeing the lights of Times Square, there's just something about it. There's something magic about it. So if you're going to have to change it, then change it to the Great Light Way.
That would be the one. That would exactly be the way to do it.
If anyone wanted my vote, it would be, oh no, really? We've gone a bit too far. But that's, as I said, that's just me. It's your show.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see. Nothing would surprise me. The other show that I couldn't see this week, you probably saw about in the New York Times today, was one being done from the Old Vic, which I wrote about before, but I guess I forgot to get myself a ticket because now it's all sold out. And you just get a ticket online. I mean, it's free. You're just getting a seat, so to speak. But they limit the number of people watching. It's kind of interesting. So I guess I'm going to miss that one. But I'm doing one out of L.A. next week. The Illusionist show that I think I've mentioned before. So next time we talk, I should be able to report on that. That show has sold out constantly. They put up more seats, but he only takes 25 people at a time. So I finally got in. So I will be able to report back from California next we speak.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.